Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hey, we're excited to have Pastor Brian with us today. Is it a Christmas message or is it a everyday message?
Sure.
Christmas.
Sure.
All right. Well, we want to hear it then. Otherwise, we'd just say, why don't you just stay over there? But it's a Christmas message. So, Pastor Brian, come on. God bless you.
Well, amen. It is good to be with you guys this morning. The last time this year. I guess I get the privilege of finishing out the year. Hopefully we finish with a strong finish, right? It's obvious this is Christmas time, and this is kind of a fun part of the year. When Ginger and I would grow up, we always tried to figure out where Mom and Dad were hiding the presents. If they weren't hid, we would take those presents and we would shake them around and try to figure out what all was in there. I think that at one point we could try to figure out how to untape it just a little bit to see a little corner and then put it back so Mom or Dad wouldn't figure it out. I even remember one year I was a little guy. We were living in Dallas at the time. And Mom and Dad were in the room making some noise, and I got up. Just kind of peeked around the corner, and they were putting something together for our Christmas. And I dared not let them know I saw it because I might not get it come Christmas morning, because Santa Claus don't bring them Christmas morning. He brings them that night so moms and dads can put them together, right? And that way they're ready for us the next morning. But Christmas is a fun time of the year, and even growing up, I say that Ginger and I, you know, as kids, I think kids just enjoy opening presents. But every year, Mom and Dad would sit us down, and we would they would instill in us the importance of Christmas and what it actually meant, that it wasn't a matter of giving gifts or getting gifts. It was about the gifts that God gave us through His Son. And His Son gave us Himself as a great gift. And that is the real reason for the Christmas story. And that's the real reason we're here to celebrate today. When I was thinking about how to title this message, I was kind of torn between two titles. One was Signs, and we'll talk about signs too. And the other one, as I say, is Don't Miss Him Again. We know that signs can point us in all kinds of directions. Signs, for the most part, are a good thing. Signs can help us maintain control on the roads with speed limits and stop signs and such as that. They can warn us of impending dangers ahead or construction ahead. They can tell us where we're going. They can tell us where we're at. There's all kinds of signs out there. And so a few weeks ago, I got to tell a story on this guy at work. He's a relatively new guy, and he's wanting to get his driver's license and do some other stuff. So we were letting him drive, and I told Doug, I said, look here. You can go anywhere you want as long as it's in residential areas. That way you can make left and right turns without a lot of traffic around you, and you can just drive. Just don't hit the cars parked on the street. That was the big point. So we're driving down this road, and I knew where I was at, and I told Doug, I said, hey, when you get up your intersection, you might want to turn left. Well, he figured he knew more than I did, and he kept going straight. Well, what he didn't realize, and I realized, that we were headed down into a cul-de-sac, and this cul-de-sac is a really tight turn for the engine. So I'm thinking, okay, best way to learn is to do it, right? I'm going to let Doug figure this out on his own. Also, at that corner is a big sign that says no outlet. So we get down there, and Doug had to make a 21-point turn around to get out of there. But we finally got out of there, and as we come up to the intersection, I said, hey, Doug, what does that sign right there say? No outlet. I said, right, Doug, let me tell you something. That sign means that there's no other way to get out of this place other than right here. So if you turn down that road, you're stuck. And you see that big octagon sign over there that says stop on it? Yeah. When you come there, you got to stop. And if you know me, I can be kind of a clown. So I was schooling Doug on every street sign, every warning sign we came across from there on out. And I think Doug kind of figured out that BT is messing with him. And he got tired of driving after too long, which is a good thing. That way we got to go back home. So what does that have to do with the message today? I'll think about the story in Matthew, the chief priests and the scribes. They had They had all these records. They had all these prophecies. They had all the stuff they needed to figure out the coming Messiah. They knew where he'd be born. And if we look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, let me read this for you. It said, as Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. I think that's kind of interesting that not only the king, I can understand him being disturbed because there's another king that's been born, but all of Jerusalem with him were disturbed. I mean, it's like, well, they're just not getting it. Verse 4, it says, when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So these cats had all that information. The Magi were just following a star or a celestial being, or whatever you want to say it was. They were following this because something in them told them a significant event had occurred. So they're coming, and they come to Herod, and they're like, where is this king that we need to worship? So we got these people that don't have any of the scripture. Now, they may have bits and pieces of it, but the people's chief priests and scribes, they had all that information. And I would think that if I had that information, I might build me a camp there in Bethlehem so that when it does come, we're there and we're ready. That was my first thought. But evidently they didn't do that. Perhaps they just weren't trained in the heavenly movements, the stars and such as that. Maybe they were just unconcerned about a coming Messiah. He had been roughly 700 years or more since that prophecy had been given. So a long time had gone by, and maybe they just didn't concern themselves anymore with it. Or it's possible that with the coming king, that would disrupt the powers to be at the time. I know that Herod didn't want to share his kingdom with anybody. And you would think that the chief priests and those guys, they had a life pretty good. So now would come this Messiah, this king, and he's probably going to mess up the whole thing. So, yeah, maybe we just better all ignore this. But that was the biggest thing that had happened in Israel for several hundred years, and these guys missed it. They missed the boat completely. They had everything they needed to get it, but they failed to meet it when it come. Even after the Magi had told them, look, hey, we're coming to worship this king, you would think, okay, well, our Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Why don't we go with him? You know? Why don't we send someone with him? But no, they didn't do that, evidently, because it's not recorded that they did. They said, hey, you guys go check him out, and when you find him, come let us know, and we'll go worship him too. So I don't get it that here is the best thing that's going to happen to Israel, and they just don't want to mess with it. They want to ignore it. They just let it go. But we know that there were at least one person that's documented in Matthew, Simeon, because when Jesus was, after he'd been born, it was a day for him to come to the temple, and there was Simeon. And Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit, hey, look, you're not going to die until you see the Savior. The Lord's Messiah is actually what it says. So here they come, Mary and Joseph. They bring little baby Jesus up there. And Simeon knew. The Holy Spirit connected with him, and he knew right then what he was seeing. We see the prophetess Anna also comes as well. So it wasn't that there weren't people looking for a Messiah. It's just that the people that were in charge, the people that were controlling everything at that time, didn't want to have nothing to do with that king. For the most part, again, they missed his first coming. They just failed. And it's cool that today, here we are more than 1,900 years later. Well, more than 2,000 years later, actually. And at least for the most part, I believe people recognize that first birth, that birth of Jesus, that first coming of Jesus. And so it's not been forgotten. I know we do communion every Sunday to remember the Last Supper. But every year we always take that time, church, and refresh and remind ourselves of that first coming of Jesus and what that meant to us. But we have something else to look forward to. We missed the first one. We weren't alive then, but the people that were alive, they missed it. But we, today, and those that have come before us, have something else to look forward to. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm sorry, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That should be an encouragement for every Christian. And unlike those guys in 3 AD, in that early AD period when Jesus was born, ever since he was caught up in the clouds and taken away from him, we were told that he's coming back for us. Several times it says, where I go to prepare a place for you. There you shall be with me also. And we know he's coming back. So from that day to today, there have been people counting on and looking forward to that resurrection, that rapture, you could say, to be with the Lord in the sky forever. The cool thing is that not even death can prevent people from being in his presence on that second coming. Death can have no authority over us. If you died and you're a Christian, the cool thing is you get to go first. You get the head start, and the rest of us get to come on up with you. But I believe that when that time comes, there's going to be millions of people that are ready to meet him. From the moment he was taken up until now, people have been looking forward to him. Everyone has expected to see him come before they die. So even after they die, there's still that hope, blessed hope. But when that day comes, I believe there's going to be three different type of people. The first are going to be those that will be rejoicing with him. All the cares, all the worries, all the sickness, the suffering and pain, anything that's negative in your life will be gone forever. We sing that song, and what a powerful song it is, and what a beautiful message it is. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. That day is going to be a wonderful day for those that are caught up to be with him. And we're not going to have to worry about stuff. We're not even going to have to care. I believe all the negative stuff, the bad things that have happened to us on this earth, the loved ones that we worry about as far as making that trip, I think they'll be out of our mind. That way there's nothing to separate us from that worshiping the Lord in true spirit and in truth. Secondly, I believe there's going to be those people that are aware of what just happened. The sad thing is that they'll be here one day. Next thing you know, there's going to be millions of people gone. There'll be millions of graves either torn open or the bodies will be gone, however you want to interpret that. And they're going to realize what has happened. And I can't imagine a more horrible feeling in the world than to realize, I've missed it. And if you know that, you know what's coming, that it's not going to be a good day for you, no matter what you do thereafter. It's going to be hard. The sorrow and the pain that you will feel then will be probably more, it's unimaginable to me, that I could lose my family members, I could lose my friends, and I know where they're at. And I know the joy that they're sharing, but I'm stuck here, and I've got to live through a terrible time, the most terrible time on earth. And finally, I believe there's going to be those people that have no clue what's going on. I believe that there will be those that will try to write it off as some sort of celestial or cosmic event. You know, there was a comet. All them people were on that comet. Now they're gone. Oh, that makes good sense. Let's believe that then. So they won't have any idea what is going on. And really, ignorance is bliss right then, because they don't realize what's happening to them. I know this is short and sweet, but it's really good. So it asked me, I have to ask you these questions. And that brings me to the title, Don't Miss Him Again. Don't miss him when he comes back and calls for us from the clouds. Don't be left here knowing what's going on. Don't be complacent like the scribes and the Pharisees were at that time. Either they were complacent or they just didn't want to play. Don't be like that. Don't get comfortable living in this world to the point to where you can't even hear the Holy Spirit call you or talk to you. You've got to be in a place where when the Holy Spirit moves, you're with him. When he talks to you, you listen and you can move with him. I can't imagine living a life without the Holy Spirit speaking to me. My father told me that, you hear your conscience is bothering you, or your conscience is clear. My father would tell me, son, he said, I believe that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If you can sin and you don't feel any kind of remorse for it in your spirit, that's a bad place to be in, because now you've kind of blocked the Holy Spirit from speaking to you. He said, so as long as you're hearing that nudge, when you know you're messing up, when you know you've said something you shouldn't have said, your mind is quickened to something, the Holy Spirit is still there. He's still speaking to you, and he still draws. The Word says that if a man doesn't come to the Lord unless the Spirit draws him. So you have to be in that place where the Holy Spirit can draw you. So I want you to reflect on yourself today. And I know it's Christmas, and this is supposed to be the party time, right? But I believe that there's going to be a day when he's going to come back for the second time. There'll be a time when I know he's going to come to this earth and establish a kingdom. He's going to wipe it all out at the very end. But that second time that he comes and we meet him in the clouds, don't miss that one. The birth, okay, you miss that. But you do not want to miss this second time that we will get to see Jesus in the clouds. So let's just take a moment and pray. I want you to reflect on that. Lord, we thank you that your word is clear. Father, that we have something to look forward to. Lord, that those that have passed away in the past, that lived a life expecting to be raptured with you in their lifetime, but death came to them, Lord. And we know that when we read Scripture, it tells us they're just sleeping. They're just there. Don't worry. Because for the Christian, when Jesus comes, they'll be caught up. Lord, I pray that you would help us examine our hearts today. In this time when we celebrate your birth, we celebrate your coming, the greatness of the gift that you've given us, Father. That we not take that gift and just throw it away. We don't take that gift and just pack it away and not even think about it, Father. We take that gift of your birth, we take that gift of life that you brought to us, and we live that life fully expecting and looking forward to that day when we'll be caught up with you in the clouds of glory. And what a day that will be, Father, when we can stand with you forever and ever and ever, to be beside you, to love you and to worship you, Father, as you want to be worshiped, Father. Lord, I can only imagine just how wonderful that's going to be, Father, when we get there to be with you. And I pray, Lord, that those that are listening this morning, Father, that if they don't know you, I pray that they would know you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come to their lives, Father. Make yourself real in their hearts. That, Lord, as we celebrate this year, this time of year, when we celebrate your birth, Father, we can celebrate it with the expectancy of finding you, Father. To live a life that is holy and pure before you, so that when you do come, Father, you will find us ready. We thank you for that blessed hope for us, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, Pastor Steve, short and sweet.
Thank you. You know, very seldom when a preacher preaches, gives a talk, that people say, we wanted to hear more. Come on, make it longer. So you're always safe to cut it short. Although it didn't seem short. You covered the subject. It was very good. We appreciate that, Pastor Brian. And we weren't there 2,000 years ago, but I hope to think that we would have recognized Jesus and been one of those followers, one of his disciples at that time. And we may not be alive when Jesus returns. We could. That'd be exciting. But if we're not, here's what we can do. We can recognize him now present with us by the Holy Spirit. So don't worry. 2,000 years ago, you might have missed him. Maybe you didn't. When he comes again, you may not be alive then, but we're alive right now and can enjoy the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Pastor Brian, for sharing that with us, an encouraging word. So thank everybody for watching today. We'll be on Christmas break for a couple of weeks, but we'll come charging back in 2021, the first Wednesday in January. In the meantime, God bless you. Thanks for watching.